Good afternoon. We're going to open the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development. For the record, today is Monday, March 21st, 2005. With us, we have Robin Lamont, our Subcommittee Scheduler, and Kat Bell, our Subcommittee Assistant. And I am Chair, Representative Greg Smith. Today, we're going to do a public hearing.
Thank you.
With agency priorities on House Bill 5014, the Department of Consumer and Business Services, and then Senate Bill 5517, Bureau of Labor and Industries. Each of you should have been given a large worksheet that looks like on the front and the back, we have each of the program unit and activity descriptions for us to prioritize, and hopefully we've all had a chance to do that. How do you guys want to go through this? Do you want me to just start on the first line and go through and just build consensus and take it through like we did this morning?
Sure.
You okay with that?
That's me.
Senator?
Happy guy.
All right.
Like you did this morning?
Well, in the other committee. Well, the other committee of general...
Oh, a bunch of you guys cross-pollinating.
Yeah, I think there's four of us in general government. Okay. How do you want to start this? First one, why don't you folks come on up here, too, so that way if we have any questions, we can ask those. Just really quick for the record.
For the record, Mr. Chair, Corey Streisinger, Director of the Department of Consumer and Business Services, and with me is Greg Malkasian, the Deputy Director, and we thought we were going to get to be in the audience today.
We're going to throw you in the hot seat there. Why don't we just start off? We were asked to rank these 1 through 5, with 5 being the highest, 1 being the... one is the highest, excuse me, and 5 is the lowest. Why don't we go through on that? On number 1, Oregon OSHA Enforcement, I gave that a 1.
One here.
1.
I gave that a 1, Mr. Chair.
1. 1. Okay. On number 2, we have Workers' Comp Division, Coverage Compliance, Non-Compliant Employer. Once again, I gave that a 1.
Same.
Well, wait. I thought.
Are you doing a rank between 1 and 5, and then you're going to do a numerical rank from top to bottom, or what are you doing?
What we're doing is we're going line item by line item,
right,
through,
mm-hmm,
and we're based upon your ranking is in terms of priority. 1 is the highest priority, 5 being a low priority. We're just going line item by line item through the priorities that the department has given us. Then if you see a program unit that you feel should be moved or readdressed in another way, we'll deal with it at that time.
Okay, but my understanding was that eventually we're going to do a numerical from the top all the way to the very bottom, not class.
Well, what we did this morning in general government was we went through their priorities and basically wanted to see if we concurred with what they had to offer. And if we didn't, we asked, could we move a certain line item to another place or eliminate it altogether?
Okay, well, in this instance, you've got 2s up here and down here and 3s and 4s, and they're in different places. So is that on a priority basis?
My understanding is this represents their priorities. Okay. Under Department 1 through 39. Is that...
Mr. Chair, yes, we submitted to you a list based on our prioritization of programs, 1 through 39. So as I understand it, your sheet in the second to the left column that goes 1 through 39 is in the order that we presented them.
Okay. So as a committee, if we feel we need to reprioritize one of theirs, as we get to that issue, please feel free to speak up. In the meantime, as we go by each program unit, if one of those, if you would rate their importance as we go through this. Okay. So on one, we had it as a one. On workers' comp division, workers' comp coverage, compliance, non-compliant employer, I also had that as a one. And I think Representative Vaughn said one and Senator Westland one. One. Okay. Good afternoon, Senator.
Good afternoon.
We're starting with the Department of Consumer and Business Services. And going through the prioritization. Under Building Codes Division, statewide policy development.
One.
Two.
Got a two.
Crush me, baby.
And it's with Representative Richardson. I had it as a one. Insurance Division, financial regulation.
Thank you.
Two.
One.
One.
Like two, but it's not strong.
Two.
Oh, wait, no. Church, that is one.
Yeah, that was one.
Yeah, that's really my highest one.
Okay. Yeah. Representative Richardson, you had it as
okay.
Okay. I have it as a one as well.
One.
There's the good senator who I messed up her rating system by changing the game on her midway through.
I hate it when you go home, you do all the homework, and the teacher changes the assignment.
We're on number five. Division of Finance and Corporate Securities, one being the highest, five being the lowest. Representative Avakian?
Two.
Representative Richardson?
Two.
Two.
One.
And
what am I missing here?
Senator Berger.
I'm acceding to public pressure. I'll go one.
Okay.
One is the highest, five is the lowest.
I have it one.
One.
I have a one. I have just a note to me about the $12.9 million that goes into the general fund.
Okay.
From that. But, Mr. Chair, it just seems to me that during this time of business climate, that this is an extremely important program within your agency. So that's why I have given it a one. I have not given all of your ones once, but that one I did.
Okay. I'm sorry. Are we now? We're on to credit unions. Is that the one next? Yeah. Credit unions.
I just want to ask this: how does that affect their budget?
In terms of.
How does that affect their budget? In that we need to be prioritizing that.
That's a very good point, and this is in a small way an exercise in futility, but nonetheless this is the direction we've been given by
five.
That's five is the lowest.
Mr. Chair, okay. Members of the committee, they regulate credit unions. Oh, so what you're looking you. At okay. is the regulation
right.
of
oh, oh I'm sorry
oh, yeah that's one
right. Can you share with us though really quick the funding for the regulations of credit unions? How is the income derived for that?
Mr. Chair, the income is derived through fees paid by the credit union industry.
By the credit
industry.
Unions, right? Okay. Okay. I have that as a one.
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 Two.
Big deal. You know, this financial regulation stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
Representative Richardson?
To, you know what? This is really interesting. I can go along with all this. None of these are earth-shaking to me. And if we're trying to build consensus, then if one's fine with me, two's fine with me, it's just that it's like grades. Everybody doesn't get an A, you know? I mean, I have a little different rating structure, but it's going to have to be done. It's not going to get cut, but I'm happy to go along with whatever we'd like to have for consensus.
But, Mr. Chair, if I may?
Sure.
In terms of this insurance division, banking regulation, finance, mm-hmm. The credit unions, this is the function that keeps them it's kind of like locks keep honest people honest. Mm-hmm. And this is a pretty high-level function in terms of protecting citizens. Not that anyone's trying to fraud anybody or these are nefarious people, but having these systems in place is critical, I think, to the smooth, ethical functioning of these institutions that already have a high degree of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, I just think we have to be batching right in here in what I see as one of their primary functions.
Mm-hmm. Senator Berger?
Have you moved from five?
We're on credit unions, number six.
Okay. Well, I actually counted down the credit unions by one to three. The reason I did that was the same reason that I actually moved OSHA to two. It seems to me that when you prioritize the programs that you have running smoothly and that are doing a lot of things, need to let some of these others that I have more concerns about rise to ones. So you had it a two. I moved it to a three because I think that other things need to be twos. So that was kind of looking at it, the bird in the tree, Mr. Chair. And I think, for instance, in the case of OSHA, because it has been in place so many years, if you didn't show up, people would probably think you were going to. I think you've done such an excellent job with checking on people and making sure that it's right, that a lot of people already have it right. So same thing with credit unions. I think that I don't think you have to worry about them nearly as much as you do the fraud, for instance, in number five that I just gave the one to.
One of the things I'm going to ask the committee is as we're going through these program units, if you see an area or if you have an area that you would like to have addressed in round two, now's a terrific time to bring that up so that way these folks can be prepared to address it when they come back before us.
I have one.
Of course.
Ms. Streisinger, when the last time has that the department has had to do any work with credit unions because of suspicion of any problems or problems themselves?
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, one of the areas that we do focus on is financial stability, and we do actually have an issue that we're working with right now where an Oregon-chartered credit union may need to change the way in which it does business because of some financial issues that it is facing. So it is an active program. It is not a program in which we experience fraud. It's more a question of working with the industry to ensure that financial stability isn't threatened.
Gotcha. Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. Number seven, Oregon Medical Insurance Pool claims payment.
One.
Same here.
Okay. Senator Johnson?
I can make it easy. I'll do the next two as one because I don't think you can separate them. One is claims payment and the other is marketing and pool management. My only question would be about the marketing part of it, but they seem to me to be inexorably linked.
Okay. Senator Berger?
I gave them threes.
Okay. Are there issues that you would like to have addressed for the next, for round two?
No, I just think that particularly on the marketing area, I think that we've got more crucial things. And the places that I put ones, for instance, I missed the discussion, but I moved building codes, which they had as a one. No, that's okay. Scratch that. No, I had a mystery. And mainly on the marketing, and I don't think you can separate them. I think they are pretty much as...
For the committee, as I went through and ranked these, what I was trying to do was determine that for the dollar paid by a taxpayer or someone who's paying a fee, are those folks who are supposed to be getting service from this program unit getting that service? And is that service or program unit still needed? And so that's how I went about looking at these.
I did not get Representative Avakian, Richardson, or Smith on number eight, or have we done that?
Oh, number eight. I think we had three ones.
Avakian one.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Okay. Workers' Comp Division benefits?
One.
I'm interested in why they place it as a two. I think it's one.
I'm a one. Senator Carter?
One.
I was... I'll go one.
One, sir.
I gave it a two, and I made some just comments. Too many complaints to me, which I had asked at the last time in the hearing. How do I deal with those? And I appreciate it very much. They've laid it out for me very clearly, and I have used the process already. And I think that it shows a lot of satisfaction in your numbers, Corey, but like late payments are investigated. And then I just kind of dropped off the end of the world. Then what? If the late payments, if I complain, my complaint, then what happens? Do I get the payment better the next time? Or is there a reason why I'm always getting a late payment? Or?
Mr. Chair, Senator Verger, if we do see a pattern or repeated incidents, we do have sanctioning authority. But we can certainly get you some more information about what happens next, if you'd like.
Okay. I just lost it. I couldn't find it in your nice big book.
Senator Johnson.
Two things. If there is a process that your agency is sharing with Senator Verger on how to deal with workers' comp claims, I think I can speak for the whole panel. We'd all welcome seeing it.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, I believe it was in one of the letters that we did send to the full committee, and we would be happy to get it.
Then I just missed it somehow, and I apologize for that. Because I think all of us hear a great deal about that, and that was one of the reasons when we get down later to the injured workers, ombudsman, that I want some additional discussion there. So I'd like to flag that when we get to it.
Got it. Oregon OSHA Voluntary Services?
Three.
Three.
Ombudsman.
Two. Senator Westland?
I was just helping for Senator Johnson with something she'd never learned, took advantage of at the opportunity I took advantage of when we went to school together. She does not know how to speak American.
And with that said,
and we're on number 10.
Two.
Two.
Okay.
One.
One.
I'm at three.
You're at three?
Okay. Three, based on the fact that I honestly think OSHA is so smooth running. Let's look at other things in priority.
Can you share with us really quick, Corey, the funding for OSHA Voluntary Services? Where does the revenue come from to fund that?
OSHA revenues come from a couple of different sources. We do receive federal funds for OSHA services, and we, in addition, receive funds through the workers' compensation system, a portion of the workers' compensation assessment. And I should just ask, Greg, do both of those fund the voluntary services portion, to the best of your knowledge?
Yes.
Perfect. I gave the one.
Federal, yes.
This is now on the board. Senator Morris?
Generally in agreement.
He's more sure waiting.
Senator Morris, we need your vote on item 10, Oregon OSHA Voluntary Services, one being high priority, five being low priority.
A one.
One. Okay. Let's move to Workers' Compensation Board Hearings Division. Senator Verger.
One.
One.
Is this where we get to trash Dan Gardner?
That comes up. Senator Morris.
I apologize for being late.
Oh, I'm just sorry.
Crying.
What number are we on?
We're on number 11.
Number 11?
Yep, Workers' Comp
one.
Board.
One.
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 Okay. Senator Johnson's a one. I'm a one.
One.
One. One. Okay. We've got it flagged. Injured Workers Ombudsman. Senator Johnson.
My concern about that was to what, if you could just refresh us with the volume of calls that your ombudsman handles, and a little bit more about the process. I'm trying to just ascertain, in the scope of things, how valuable this function is to your ability to deal with workers' comp injured workers that are having a particularly difficult time navigating the system. And the subset of that was whether or not there are any, whether you're just addressing injured workers or you're also helping employers in this function? I simply couldn't recall from the presentation.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, let me start with that, your last question first. We also have a small business ombudsman in the workers' compensation area. So we have two separate ombudsman offices, one for injured workers, one for small business. In addition, in our workers' compensation division, we also assist injured workers, as well as employers for that matter, in making it through the system. So the injured workers ombudsman is not the only source of assistance for injured workers, but it does exist as an office separate and independent from the workers' compensation division to help injured workers understand the system and also to advocate for injured workers in the system. So, for example, if an injured worker is having difficulty getting information or if they have received an initial response, which it appears didn't adequately address their issues, the injured workers ombudsman staff is available to not only provide them with information but also assist them.
May I pursue this just
please.
A bit?
Please.
Pursue them. What's the farthest stop out? I advocate for them. What's the farthest stop out on advocacy?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, the office does not provide legal advice and does not represent injured workers in legal proceedings. But the office can, for example, make a telephone call to the workers' compensation insurer and inquire why a particular situation is handled the way it is and suggest other ways that it might be handled, for example.
Senator Berger.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I put it up a notch in priority. I gave you a two. And what I want to know is that in your presentation, you talked about mediation and how successful it has been for you, the outcome. That's right. Okay, so I'm wondering, does the ombudsman lead somewhat to your success in mediation, or has the ombudsman replaced some of the mediation?
Mr. Chair, Senator Berger, I think they are two different parts of the system, both of which can assist in resolving disputes. But depending on the nature of the dispute, they provide different types of assistance. So if a particular situation is in adjudication, an alternative dispute resolution may be available to reach an outcome, but the ombudsman can also simply advise the injured worker on what options might be and can provide an independent source of coaching and counseling and advice.
Okay, follow-up. So in that regard, the ombudsman can lead, depending on the complaint, to mediation, which in your book you show has been successful.
Mr. Chair, Senator Berger, that's correct. Or a mediation process can lead an injured worker to contact the ombudsman's office to find out more information. So they're not in a particular chronological sequence. The ombudsman's office can be contacted at any point.
Thank you for that response, and that just reinforces what I believe in giving it a two.
And Mr. Chair, Senator Berger, if I could mention, I've heard a couple of times comments that about our rankings being changed, and I just, in case it would be useful to clarify, I believe that we did not use 1 through 5, we used a 1 through 3, that is a first tier, second tier, and third tier, and our numbers 1 through 24 were all in our first tier, our priority 1. So everything you've been discussing so far was a priority 1 for us.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, may I ask a question about that?
Please.
When you say you ranked 1 through 3, were you comparing each program to the others that are on your list in deciding whether they fall into a 1, 2, or 3? Or were you comparing them simply to their intrinsic value to Oregonia?
Mr. Chair, Representative Akian, as we understood our instructions, we were required to take all of our programs throughout the department and rank them in order. A priority order. So we used a set of factors which we laid out for you in trying to judge the breadth of scope, the importance to Oregonians, the factors that we used. And again, that just because we had to use some factors, the factors that we used for a priority one were best meeting our mission and best showing outcomes.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that identification of how they did their prioritization is at the bottom of page 2 of your sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Representative Babakian.
On the ombudsman?
Yep.
4.
4. Representative Richardson?
3.
3. Senator Berger?
This is Insurance Division. I gave it a 2.
Nope, there were injured workers ombudsman. We're doing the vote on that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I gave it a 2.
2. Senator Morris?
1.
Johnson's a 1. Westland's a 2.
Carter's a 2.
2. And I'm a 1. Okay. On the page. Insurance Division, Consumer Protection, Market Regulation. Representative Avakian?
2.
2. Richardson?
1.
1. Senator Carter?
2.
1.
High. 1. 1.
A high 1.
Senator Berger?
2.
2. And I'm a 1. Yeah. Securities regulation.
I can just tell you the stuff I know that Senator Johnson has pulled. I'm putting this a 1.
Well, I was going to make it a 2, but it's a 1 now.
1.
No, it was a 1.
Well, I gave it a 1.
Okay. Senator Morris?
1.
1. And I'm a 1 as well.
1 here.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I did not get Representative Sabakian and Richardson.
One.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Building Codes Division Enforcement and Licensing.
2.
2.
2.
2.
3.
1.
1.
2.
We never had a problem with building codes. You don't know how important it is.
I'm sorry, I didn't get Senator Johnson.
Even with the chastisement, I'll stick with my guns. I'm a 2.
I'm a 1. One of the things I'd like to point out to the committee is we're going to be sitting down with the building code folks and working through. There's been some issues raised by the boiler folks and also manufactured housing, and we want to sit down and just work through some issues with them. But I give that as a heads up to the committee. All right. Insurance Division, Consumer Services.
3.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I hope that when you look at this, that timeliness is one of the issues that you talk about. I'm going back to 15 for just a second.
Okay.
Thank you.
Which is my concern on my low ranking. It's not the job they do. It's they do a good job when they get there. It really slows down the process, the entrepreneurial spirit. I don't want to say having to wait around all the time, because they don't have to wait around all the time, but I think there could be a higher level of time sensitivity to the job.
Okay. Representative Avakian.
We're on 16.
I'm sorry, we're still on 16 now. We're Insurance Division, Consumer Services.
And that was a 3.
3?
2.
Okay. Representative Senator Berger.
3.
2.
2.
I just need to, what are they doing in Consumer Services, Mr. Chairman?
Perhaps we could ask our director.
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, in Consumer Services, we provide direct assistance to consumers with complaints or concerns about insurance company behavior. So that if somebody...
2.
I'm the liberal on the committee. I'm a 1.
Well, I could go with a 1, Mr.
I'm really
Chair.
I'm good. I'm not kidding you.
By golly, it's change.
All right, 1. We're going to 1. We're 1. Yes. Great leadership of our chair. Yes.
When Greg speaks, we...
We won.
It's fun.
I'm a 1.
Who else is a 1?
I'm a 1.
I'm a 2.
3.
That's
important.
Consumer Finance. Senator Berger.
I gave it a 4, and I also commented that I was not sure that I agreed with the marketing aspect of it.
Share with us really quick, if you would, Corey, consumer finance. How are those funds raised?
Mr. Chair, those funds, again, are raised by fees paid by the regulated industries, which would include in consumer finance traditional consumer finance companies like household finance, as well as payday and title lending.
Okay. And then Senator Berger raised the issue about marketing. Senator Berger, can you expound on that just a...
Did I make a mistake there in looking at the wrong thing on the consumer finance? There was a marketing aspect to it?
Mr. Chair, Senator Berger, there is not a marketing aspect of it from our perspective. We do focus some energy on consumer disclosure, that is making sure that consumers understand what their rights are and what the law requires, but the primary focus here is on ensuring fair treatment for consumers.
But there is an outreach component to consumers to make them knowledgeable that these kinds of practices are...
Mr. Chair, Senator Westland, overall we do some investor education, that is ensuring that people understand how to avoid fraudulent transactions. In the securities area in particular, we focus on teaching people how to avoid being defrauded.
My apologies, Mr. Chair. I'll find out more in detail. I've got my book with me. I'll figure out what it was that I...
You bet. Representative Richardson.
I just wanted to clarify that. This is where the regulation is over payday loans, title loans, those kinds of areas which are...
Mr. Chair, Representative Richardson, yes. As well as more traditional household consumer financing companies.
Representative Richardson.
One.
Two.
Three.
Question?
Westland's a one, and then question, Senator Carter.
I understand that some of the payday loans are up as much as 500%, and that Oregon is a very, very, has no regulations in terms of payday loans, and yet they are taking Oregon by a storm, and that very low-income people are being disproportionately affected by this. And I know I'm not trying to be the savior of the world, but I am. I do think that we have to educate the public better, Corey, in terms of what is happening to many people along the lines of payday loans, because a lot of people are really suffering behind them. And it deals with compounded interest, you guys. Mm-hmm. A person can go in and want to get their paycheck. When they have to go back and pay it, they end up losing the whole paycheck trying to pay back because of the interest rate on payday loans. So I'm just trying to say, how do we better educate the public in terms of that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, this has been an area that we've actually spent a fair amount of time focusing on this past interim. We do regulate, there are regulations of payday lending in a number of areas. For example, there are limits on the number of renewals or rollovers that are allowed. There are limits on some of the contract terms. We do not, however, limit currently the fees and interest rates, and we do not have a dollar threshold, a dollar limit on the amount that can be borrowed. And those are areas that have received quite a bit of attention. And the fees are charged on a dollars per hundred basis, and $15 per hundred or $20 per hundred for a loan that may be 2 weeks is pretty much in line with the industry, and that is where on an annual percentage rate basis it does come out to, can be in the neighborhood of 500%. We have been attempting to educate the public about alternatives. We have stepped up our enforcement on the regulations and the laws that are in place now, like the number of rollovers. In addition, we provide quite a bit of data to interested parties and legislators about alternatives and about what other states do.
Thank you, Mr. Corey. This month and out next, this month I'll give you a date, the 24th, something like whatever Saturday is. I'd like to invite you to a town hall meeting on, because in northeast Portland, people are just suffering from the payday loans and how they have just invaded the community on every little corner. They remind you of little churches now, there's everywhere.
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, we'd be happy to come.
Yes.
So we're on our vote. Senator Westland's a one. Senator Carter?
One.
Senator Johnson?
One.
Are they on 18?
Do you have Senator Morris?
Yes.
Okay, I'm a one.
This is 17 or 18?
17.
Yeah. 3. 4. Four for Senator Verger.
4.
We done? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mortgage broker, banker.
3.
Can you share with me really quick, is mortgage broker, banker, line 18, what the function of that is?
Mr. Chair, this is the financial industry that lends money to people to buy homes primarily. So these are secured loans. There are a number of issues that we do regulate here. We have been very actively involved, for example, this past interim in working with law enforcement to investigate and prosecute some fraudulent activity that was aimed at Hispanic home buyers that ended up charging fees and making misrepresentations and ending up in a fair amount of victimization. So this is an active regulatory area where there is some potential for victimization.
Great, thank you. Senator Westland.
I'll go a one on that.
Okay. Two, Senator Johnson. Senator Morse.
Three.
But I'm just curious as to why it isn't a higher priority for you since you promote home ownership.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, Senator Verger, this again is one that we had ranked as our top tier priority.
And one thing, if I could, Mr. Chair, to go back up one on consumer finance, you make two arguments on these payday lenders. I mean, they do serve a legitimate function, and a heck of a lot of times it's a lot cheaper to get the, you know, pay the $15 for the $100 check than it is the $60 late fee on your apartment. I mean, so there's two sides of those guys, too. Not to go out
to talk longer.
okay, well, no one's ever accused me of talking too little. So
amen.
Representative Richardson.
Are we still on 18?
Yes.
Three.
Representative Babakian.
That was a three.
Three. I'm a one. Office of Regulatory Streamlining. Senator Johnson.
I'm a five, but let me explain that a little bit. I very much support the concept of regulatory streamlining. I mean, some of the most prolific constituent contacts that I have are people that are just overwhelmed by the bureaucracy. And yet I have trouble reconciling creating another office, you know, adding to the bureaucracy to deal with the bureaucracy. I'm having trouble with that. And when I sat down to do this, absent a clearer, more in-depth scope of exactly what this office is doing, where it's sent out to ferret out regulatory Gordian knots that need undoing, I just felt that I needed more information. And I very much think we need to do something to make it, to put some shock absorbers between people and the regulatory morass that many of them operate in. But I'm just not quite sure I understood enough about the work scope of this program.
Senator Morse.
Well, I'm willing to bet a 1.25 FTE that we allow this to continue. I think the proof is in the product, and they need some more time. In fact, there was a bill that was supposed to be, I can't remember the bill number, that was supposed to come to the floor today in the Senate, and I was going to stand up and clap because we're beginning to deliver. And I don't recall just what it was, but I'd give it a one. Let's see if we can do better things.
Senator Verger.
I give it a one, and I just don't think you've gone far enough. I think that the more you can streamline, and if it's really done with a lot of focus with some good people at the table, I'm all for it.
One. I'm going to give it a one as well, but with direction, and that is when we get into phase two, if you could have your staff come prepared to share with us their more detailed plans on how they see their time being utilized over the next 24 months.
And, Mr. Chair, if you could nuance that even slightly further, it's my experience that the governor's economic revitalization team is on the ground, immersed in the bureaucracy that this office, I hope, attempts to solve. I'd like some evidence that there's conversation between the governor's economic revitalization team and this office. I can't say more strongly how much I support the idea of regulatory streamlining and coordination so that DEQ rules are the same in Clatsop and Columbia County. So in that regard, I am making common cause with my colleagues who rated it a one. but I want to make sure that there are some deliverables and that we're not just fooling ourselves by titling something regulatory streamlining and we trot out one or two things and pat ourselves on the back about what a great job we've done. I'd like to see a work scope, some evidence of coordination. And frankly, the more aggressive the work scope is, the happier I'm going to be. But absent that work scope, this is just another let's pretend we're doing good work.
I'm going to add to that and share with the committee that I think we should set up a time to have Pat come visit with this committee again and really spell that out, how that's going to take place, primarily because this is such an important position. And so let's move on. Workers' Comp Board. Board review.
One.
One. One. Number one.
One.
One. Less than one.
Two.
Two. Office of Minority Women, Emerging Small Business, Disadvantaged Business Enterprise. I'm going to start off on this and say that I think a tremendous amount of additional work needs to be spent in this area in terms of creating opportunities around the entire state for our minority women and emerging small business owners. And so I'm going to be a little bit hard on them with the full expectation that we're going to bring them up and get greater outreach throughout the entire state in utilizing these services and encouraging minority women and emerging small business owners to do business with the state of Oregon and to do business with government in general. And so I'm going to give them a 3 with the understanding that we're going to get that up to a 1. So,
Mr. Chair, maybe we could have some explanation as to the distinction between disadvantaged and minority women, minority and women. Right? Is one just an income level and another
right.
is a...
Could you share with us on that, Corey?
Mr. Chair, Senator Westland, the DBE, or Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Program, is a federal program tied specifically to federal contracting dollars where we certify people actually using the federal standards. And that is, ODOT is a primary user because of the federal transportation dollars. I believe the Port of Portland that also receives federal aviation dollars is a user of that program. The other two programs, the Minority and Women Owned Business and the Emerging Small Business Program, are state-specific. As you're supposed to nod or shake your head if I'm right or wrong here. People are really mad. The Minority at Women Owned Businesses, of course, fit particular demographic classifications. The Emerging Small Business Program is available to businesses that meet particular income and size of business qualifications without regard to race or gender.
Well, I think I can go strong on that disadvantage thing, but that minority and women deal, I don't know about.
I'll hold him, Morgan.
Thank you. You know I need them.
Where do we want to go here? Representative Avakian. One? Two?
One? One? I mean...
Yeah. Again, I think it's a very important function, but I continue to look for some evidence that we know who to call. And I would probably report out lines 21, 22, and 30 to the Office of Regulatory Streamlining to figure out where do we have pockets dealing with minority women disadvantaged all through state government. And if I am one of those persons, who do I call? Who is accountable to help me? Why is it we have them scattered through so many places? And can there not be some consolidation that finds efficiencies, streamlining, and better customer service? And so while I think the function is terribly important, I just continue to be perplexed as we look at these budgets and wonder why we've got these folks embedded everywhere. I'd like it in the phone book so I can find it. Do I ever what?
Do you ever question why everyone in the committee knows where to call except you?
Senator Morris will now respond to the greeting.
It's a one. You know, the as I understand the nature of this program, it's to facilitate small business access to public contracting, public jobs, public services. I mean, not that they get services, but they provide services.
The Department of Transportation.
And that's important.
Mm-hmm. It is important.
One.
Okay.
Well, I downgraded it quite a bit because I couldn't put it on a top priority because in 1993 you were given this program. So that means you've had it almost a dozen years, and I don't see what it's done. I think it's too broad. I believe that it is absolutely for minorities and for disadvantaged women. And I don't think that it should be any other way. And you probably heard me ask the question about my understanding of where there is a couple very similar to my husband and I who use the wife as a way of getting money through your program. Now, I don't have any proof of that. If I did, I would be much more upset today. But I will tell you this, that if someone isn't asking the question, not are you a co-owner, but are you managing the business on a day-to-day basis in order to qualify for this? And also, I don't think a business should qualify for it just because they've had poor management and have neglected the business and now need money. I would love to be able to tell you that I have seen the results of this program in my district, where I see women who are single moms with two children and are entrepreneurs and have been helped by the state of Oregon to become self-sufficient and independent. But I just cannot tell you that. And so for that reason, I've given it a 4. Because if we're not going to do a good job with it, then let's just take it off the priority list. But and in your agency, Mr. Chair, I have to say, so much of the money comes from other funds. So much is raised from fees and so forth. But I don't feel exempt from that in being able to be critical. Even though it's federal dollars, I pay federal taxes. So I feel that it's my money there as well. And I mean in no way to disparage any one individual. I just say until that program is tight, and I can see some women, and particularly minorities. I would say Senator Carter has women in her district, which is in an urban area, which would be helped greatly by this program, and they need to be put there. And maybe they have been, but not in my rural district.
Okay. Senator Carter.
One. I'm sorry, Senator Berger, I didn't get your number. The number.
A 4. I'm sorry, I can't remember.
You already got it.
Okay. What I will share with the committee is this is an area in round two we're going to work together on and figure out how can we strengthen this for the benefit of all Oregonians. And I would ask if any committee member would like to work with me in trying to put this together to strengthen this.
I'd be happy to do that, Mr. Chair.
Would you, Senator Berger, would you work with me on this?
I would. Okay. I would. Very much so.
So I'm going to pass out to Corey, and Corey, between now and round two when we're back, I would hope that we could get together with Senator Berger and try and work through this, and Senator Carter as well. And Senator Carter, so we can figure out how to strengthen this program, how to enhance outreach so all Oregonians know about it, and then how to make it a program that is legitimate in the eyes of this committee and meets the needs of worker benefit fund.
Mr. Chair, I don't have any rankings on 22.
Oh, we need to take the vote on that?
That's what we were just talking about.
We were talking about 21.
No, we're talking about 21.
Oh. Okay, let's go 22 really quick.
Representative.
One.
Two.
Two. One. Senator Carter?
One.
One. One for one. Senator Morris? Senator Berger?
I didn't rate him.
Okay.
I saw they rated them so low, both of the next two, and my question to them is, why have you given it such low priority?
Okay.
Because it didn't seem to me to be something that I would give that low priority. I'd be happy to give it a 2, Mr. Chair, but I didn't rate it for that reason.
I'm a 3 with the expectation between now and
phase two, we'll get that up to a one to meet your didn't meet this group's expectations.
Could we get a clarification, Mr. Chair?
You bet.
Corey, we're looking at the sheet, and there's mm-hmm. three columns starting to the left. Says, you know, subcommittee priority, department number, and then program/division. Under program/division, we see numbers going from 1 to 12, the first half of which, of the page, are all 1 through 5. Are those numbers, do they have any significance as far as the prioritization?
Mr. Chair, Representative Richardson, we have not been able to determine what that particular column represents.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that is the division ranking. And then that division ranking was then carried over to the department-wide ranking, which is why you will see two different numbers there. So if you are looking at the Oregon OSHA enforcement, it's the number one priority of the department. It was also the number one priority within the Oregon OSHA division.
Okay. So follow up, when we're looking down, say, at number 24, line 24, workers' benefit fund, retroactive and supplemental payments, and it says number 5. Is that number 5 have any relationship to DCBS and their ranking, or which division?
That is, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, then within the workers' comp division, which is that initial DCBS-WCD, it is the fifth priority within that division. In your in the materials that were handed out to you, you will have the detail of the ranking within each division, as well as how it rolls up to the department-wide.
Okay. So, is that clear now?
For example, if you go back to number 9, mm-hmm. Or go back to number 2, the number one priority within the workers' comp division is the number 2 priority within the department. If you go down to number 9, the ninth ranking within the department was the second ranking within the workers' comp division.
Okay. Mr. Chair, if I could add, it's probably less useful than the other types of rankings simply because some of our divisions have a large number of programs. Some of them might just have one program. So it doesn't give you much information about relative rankings or prioritizations.
Right. Okay. Let's move to, I guess we're on workers' benefit fund reemployment assistance.
Two.
One. Carter, less than a one.
I kept the rankings that are there for the next three. The division ranking.
Okay, Senator Morris,
you can ask for. Well, I would give it a three from the perspective of that. I don't think this is a very significant program, as I recall. And wondered if it's being picked up elsewhere.
Well, why don't we play that really quick? Can you share with us the funding sources on that?
I'm sorry, you're on
number 23.
Number 23 is reemployment assistance for workers. The funding source is the Workers' Benefit Fund, which is funded by an assessment on every hour worked by every Oregon employee, sometimes known as the cents per hour assessment. And the reemployment assistance program actually does fund a number of our return to work programs, which are, we believe, an important element of our workers' compensation system.
Okay, I'll change mine to a one because I was confusing it with the Injured Workers Fund.
The Workers' Benefit Fund also provides payments to injured, supplemental and retroactive payments to injured workers, which you'll see as our number 24, so it immediately follows this on our list.
Can you? I'm sorry, I missed that. The reemployment assistance, in 30 seconds, explain how that helps an injured worker.
Mr. Chair, that is the various reemployment assistance programs are what assists injured workers in getting back to work in many cases, either in their own the employer at injury or in a different retraining in it for a different job.
So it could be used for retraining?
Yes.
Could it be used for an injured worker who wants to learn how to put a business plan together?
Mr. Chair, we did take a quick look at that, and for a number of historic reasons, the answer to that is no. The statute refers to employment, and it has been interpreted to apply to programs that will allow someone to obtain employment being with an employer. There's a one exception, actually two exceptions to that. One of them is if the employer at injury was actually self-employment, where the individual had chosen to purchase workers' compensation insurance, then the programs would apply. And there is one other area where a worker might enter into essentially a claims disposition agreement, a settlement, which would cash out some vocational assistance benefits, which could be used for other purposes then. By and large, though, no.
Okay, and that current limitation is a ORS limitation?
Correct.
Okay.
I did not get Senator Virgin's number.
Yes.
Four?
Okay. Mr. Chair, I need to ask, your legislation, Senate Bill 119, does it affect 23 or 24?
Mr. Chair, Senator Verger, it affects 23. That is, it enhances some of the reemployment assistance programs.
Okay, let's take our vote on that. Start with Representative Abakian.
Two.
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 Question one.
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 You're on 24.
23. I'm
a
okay.
Two.
Two. I'm a one. Senator Carter?
One.
Okay. Workers' Benefit Fund, retroactive and supplemental payments.
Two.
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 One.
Two.
Two.
Carter is a two. Two.
Berger is a two.
Okay.
Morris, you're a one.
One.
Senator Morris, I'm a one. Okay. Workers' Compensation Division revenue collections.
Three.
Three.
Two.
Two. Westland?
Two.
Two.
Three.
Two.
Berger's a two.
Well, I have it as one, Mr. Chairman, but I'm curious why the department is ranked at
Small. Yeah, yeah. Could you give us clarification on that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Morris, first of all, of course, ranking it by nature means some things have to be higher than some other things. This particular one does not provide direct service to businesses or injured workers, but it does provide an important fairness element to the system by ensuring that everybody pays their fair share.
When you say everybody, you mean collection of fees?
Yes, collection of assessments.
So this is the billing arm of the Workers' Comp Division?
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
So just really quick, if we didn't have a billing arm, how would you fund the rest of these programs?
One of the most important things in business is accounts receivable and collecting the money. So.
Mr. Chair, we also in this unit pursue non-complying employers, that is, employers who have failed to comply with the system's requirements and provide workers' compensation insurance. The costs of providing for those injured workers are provided through the system, through the workers' benefit assessment, but in the interest of fairness, we then go out after those non-complying employers and attempt to get the money back.
Okay. I'm a one. I'm one. Senator Morris is a one.
We're 25?
Yes.
I'm a one.
Thompson's a one. Senator Berger.
I was a two.
Two. Okay. Building Codes Division Training. Senator Berger.
Oh, and you know what? I didn't turn the page over.
Nope.
Whoa. Sorry about that, Mr. Chairman. That yeah.
We'll start on this side.
Representative Avakian.
Two.
Two. Senator Carter.
We're on the training. Do you have a question?
Oh, a question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Senator Westland, it's distracting.
She's asking me questions.
Building codes training. What is that division, building codes division training?
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, there are a number of elements involved in this program. We do train inspectors who are the ones who then, they may be employed by local government, they may not be employed directly by us, but we are responsible for essentially quality assurance for those inspectors. There's also some training that is provided on a contract basis to the different industry segments, and the individual boards generally have a lot to say about the nature of that training.
Question.
Of course.
So, Ms. Streisand, are these the people that leave the city bureaus or wherever they're training, wherever the community is, if they go out and make decisions on clarifying what the codes are, whether the code they meet specification and that kind of stuff?
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, the inspectors would be the ones who would go out to the building site and determine whether a particular installation or a particular work is, in fact, in compliance with the code.
So you train the people that do that?
Yes.
Okay.
In addition, some of the training is directly to the building trades, but the training of the inspectors is, as I understand it, the primary, the larger part of that program.
I'm to Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Senator Westland?
25?
26.
Ooh, 26. Two.
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 Three.
Three. Is this where we get the bad chance?
Yeah. We're getting close.
Two.
You are so bad.
I'll go two.
I'm here for it.
Okay. Small business ombudsman.
Three.
Three.
Is that a three?
Yeah. Yeah, we have two threes down here. We have a two from Westland.
Three. I'm a one and would ask why it was rated so low by the agency. We don't have to answer it now. I'm just disclosing my bias that help to the employers is important and I think maybe should be higher.
I'm a one as well. Senator Morris?
I'm a five.
Five?
Five.
Okay. Pre-needs trust.
What is pre-needs?
Representative
Buck. Before you die.
Three.
Could we get a better explanation as to what the pre-needs trust is?
I'm going to do to you.
Mr. Chair, Senator Westland, this is pre-funeral, prepayment of funeral expenses and cemetery expenses. It is regulated by us because of the financial nature of the product. In other words, you prepay and your money is then held in a trust account and can be dispersed only for specific purposes and only when you are dead. It is an area where, in fact, financial abuse is possible. Mm-hmm. So,
is there a reason for the state to be in this business?
Yes.
Garage is full of coffins.
Got it.
All
right.
I'm a one.
Okay. One?
Well, one and...
Oh, and a question. I'm sorry.
No, the question is just the consolidation of the funeral home industry has left a great deal of, shall we say, changes in management styles from
efficiencies.
The family-owned kind of backbone, committed to community-type owners to a more chain-like approach. And so I think there's a definite need for this, and I give it a one.
Before I answer, I want to ask a question. Apropos a conversation that three of us had in another committee this morning, is there not an advisory board or commission with respect to the funeral industry?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, there is a cemetery and mortuary board, which is a standalone agency, which regulates the funeral business. We regulate the money. The prepaid money. So this is essentially, if you think about an escrow account, something where you are buying a service ahead of time and you need to make sure your money is not stolen.
You've answered my question, and I think given the fact that this is such an emotional issue for so many people, knowing that there's a watchdog out taking care of it, I'd put it at two.
Three.
Four.
Explain to me why there's only 109,000 in this account. Where's the demand?
Mr. Chair, it is not one of our larger programs, but when something goes wrong, it does take energy to investigate. We actually have
for
that.
Itself?
It is paid for by fees imposed by the industry, yes.
I'm a one.
We had quite an issue with this a couple of years ago.
Mr. Chair, Senator Westland, there was an issue a few years ago. There's actually been a major issue down in Eugene this year.
Okay. Item 29, Workers' Comp Division Dispute Resolution Report.
Four.
Two. Senator Carter.
Three.
And I need help once again. I'm sorry to be the problem case this afternoon. We are going through and have rated and are now discussing your current programs. And the thing that still is missing in this process for me is the question of what could go someplace else. Assuming that you didn't do it, might there be efficiencies found if it were lodged someplace else? And I guess the question comes with the pre-needs trust. Could that be a banking function? With this one, the question of do you have your own internal, I don't recall from the discussion, internal dispute resolution folks, or is this a referral out? Or is there any opportunity for any efficiencies here?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, this is handled in-house. It's alternative dispute resolution, and we believe it's actually a very cost-effective program. The volume is high, and the success rate is good. We think it's an advantage to be able to be able to get their disputes resolved very early in the system and somewhat informally.
Well, against that backdrop, I'm a big advocate for dispute resolution as a process to resolve these kinds of issues, and so I'd be a two.
Okay. Senator Morris?
One.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman,
if I can throw up the works here, those compelling arguments force me to change my three to a one.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I listed it as a four, mostly based on personal experience. I think it's a laudable goal, and I think the program can and does work very well sometimes. But as somebody who's practice workers' compensation law for 14 years, I know that that partially what this creates is that the lawyers oftentimes rely on the department to solve issues rather than solving it amongst themselves. And I think in some ways it's had a backlash effect on issues that maybe at one point could have been solved in a different way, no longer are, and they have become the burden of the state, which is why I listed it as a four.
But we're also putting lawyers out of business, and that's got to be a good thing.
Representative Richardson has a one.
No. What?
No.
We are going to be
29.
Yeah, I'm still a two.
Okay. I'm a one, but I'm gonna flag that, and I'm gonna ask if Representative Avakian could get together with these folks, because I'm curious if there's a role that they could play with the arbitration folks in the employment department. And their dispute resolution, and see if there is any type of savings that could be had there. And perhaps there's not, and maybe it's a 10-minute conversation. But I would like to know.
My hunch is it might be a 5-minute conversation, but I'd be happy to have it.
Thank you. Okay. Office of Minority Women and Emergency.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
If I could go back to 28.
Okay.
Recognizing that there's just a lot I don't know, and we don't know about what goes on in these funeral trusts, but I would just raise the question, could you collapse this activity within DCBS and require that these trusts be processed through commercial banking and then let the oversight be through the banking division as opposed to how it's being handled now?
Do you feel strongly enough about that to have a meeting with them to discuss it?
I just raised the issue. I'd be curious to know at some point if there's any merit to that.
Mr. Chair, Senator Morris, some master trustees are in fact banks, or some banks serve as master trustees, but we don't currently limit the service of as a master trustee to banks. That is, a funeral operator may use a master trustee who is a non-bank, in which case we do regulate them. But from a staffing standpoint, this program is we use staff within this area in our Division of Finance and Corporate Securities to serve multiple programs. So it does not require dedicated staff, because in these areas, they are small programs, and really it's a question of having the staff available when a problem pops up rather than having somebody doing something every day on the program.
I'm not sure it's fertile ground to plow, but we need to process it with the industry, obviously, and I'm not sure that we...
Mr. Chair, Senator Morris, yeah, the issue would be how would the industry react, I think, to limiting the access to master trust, non-bank master trustees.
Okay. I'm gonna keep us moving forward here because we still have one more agency to work through. So why don't we did we get the vote on 29? Do we have that?
No, okay. 20. Yes, 29. Yes.
Okay. So now we're to 30. Emerging small business.
One.
Two. Senator Frederick.
One.
Leslie.
Could someone draw a distinction for me between 30 and
21 and 22?
21 and 22.
Mr. Chair, Senator Westland, the three programs within this unit are very similar, but the Disadvantaged Business Enterprises is the federal program.
Okay.
The Minority and Women-Owned Businesses is a state program, mm-hmm. which is limited to businesses that have minority or women ownership. The Emerging Small Business is the race and gender neutral program that is based on business volumes. That is, a business can qualify for this program and for public contracting opportunities. They can be certified.
It's race and gender neutral, but it's the Office of Minority Women.
And Emerging Small Business.
And this is one of those areas that Senator Berger and I are going to be working with. Corey.
It's the emerging part of it.
It's the emerging part of it.
Right. The emerging. Okay. Right. We're starting them.
Right.
When we, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, and Senator Carter, I'm sorry.
Just,
yeah.
No. Just a little insight. During the height of the 80s when we were, it's the case of the Colson versus Virginia case that we were striking down citizens. And so what we had to do was go back to all of the legislation we had in the state and look at the language itself. And so we came to the conclusion that the emerging small business one would take care of the case rather than going back to the other two who that were already in place. And it would take care of the matter in terms of being language neutral. Yeah. And that's why both of those offices are actually set up in the governor's office so that he could monitor that better. We don't do a good job in the state, ladies and gentlemen. Even though women-owned business are the fastest-growing mm-hmm. business in this state, we don't do a good job of paving the way for them at all. And we certainly don't come close to doing good in government about procurement and public contracting. And the closest, the best model I have seen in the system is in the Department of Transportation. And they have a great model that people could use. But I want you to know these businesses are basically starting on their own. Yet we have technical assistance and we do SWOT analysis to do in the larger community for this. And so that's why you have these three different segments. There have been no cohesive means of trying to do a better job of formulating a system that would make sure that all Oregonians had access to procurement opportunity as well as technical assistance in starting small businesses.
Well, I can share with the committee that before we bring this budget forward to round two, that we're going to have a workable solution that's going to make sure that every Oregonian throughout the entire state, whether in the inner city or in the most remote parts of the state, know about what opportunities are available to them to work with the federal government, the state government, and local government. So let's do our vote on this. Representative Abakian, you gave us a one already. Richardson gave us a two. Senator Carter, we didn't get your vote. Oh, a one.
One.
Westland's a one.
It's very important, but I'm going to renew my call for scouring this for opportunities for consolidation.
Got it.
Okay. The number?
Two.
One.
One.
Is this where, if the cat's away, the mice will play kind of thing I was telling you about before? Is this the one where it's gender and wage neutral?
Mr. Chair, Senator Berger, it is gender and race neutral in this program.
Okay, so I'm trying to figure out where my problem is lying, whether it's in the first one or the second one. I'm going to give you a four because... Just downgrade the priority until it's straight.
With the opportunity to earn a higher
there you go.
Grade. There we go. Let's move forward. Building Codes Division statewide.
Two.
Two.
Three.
A three. Senator Berger.
This is 31.
Correct.
Three.
Three. Senator Morris. 30. Or 31.
One.
One.
Two.
Two.
Two. I'm a one. Again, that's one we're going to have discussion on. Building Codes Division Site Build Construction Inspections.
Two.
Two.
Three.
Two.
Two.
One.
When do we start to get Trash and Dan?
What? This is the collection agencies?
No, this is 32.
Oh, okay. I've got two.
Two.
Gee, I was thinking.
Collection agencies, credit service organizations, and debt consolidation.
Two.
Two.
Three. Senator Carter?
Two.
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 One.
Five.
You stop. I'm a one.
Gardner, you know what you're marrying into? I mean,
we're just. He does. I think
I'm fully aware.
Okay. He does.
You've got to protect the little people.
Money transmitters. Can we just get a quick update on that? Share with us money transmitters. What's that?
Mr. Chair, money transmitters will transmit money abroad often. The one you're probably familiar with is Western Union wiring money.
Okay. Rep. Avakian?
Two.
Two.
Three.
Three.
Two.
Okay.
Five.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Five.
Five.
Three.
Five.
One.
One.
Five.
Five. I'm a one. Pawnbrokers?
Be running
three.
Again.
Three.
Three.
One.
One.
This is a very specific valued industry. These guys, they do good.
Senator Johnson?
I'm going to monitor.
Two.
Yeah, really.
Mm-hmm. Senator Morris?
One.
One.
Five.
Five. I'm a one. Okay. Sellers of Travel?
Three.
Three.
Three. This travel agency?
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, this is actually, I believe there's only one registrant, and it's an association of sellers of travel. And this is a voluntary registration program.
What would happen if we didn't have it?
The entity registered would not be registered.
What benefit do Oregonians have by it?
This program set up there was some history here, and it set up a grant program with some funds that were generated by that industry. And the program does have the one registrant and is not it is not engaging in new activities at this point.
Does it pay for itself?
Yes, it does pay for itself.
Or, if I may, let me ask the question a different way. Does it actually benefit the Travis Travel Registry more because they can say we are affiliated with the state or?
Mr. Chair, Senator Westland, industry participant that has the strongest interest in the program does believe that it is an important program.
And they're paying the fee.
And they have the funds do come from that industry, yes.
Okay. Senator Johnson?
In the old system, I rated it a low. Three.
Three. Senator Morris?
Well, I had it a five. It's important to the industry, and I've supported it.
Okay.
Three.
Three. So your score, Senator Morris?
I'll leave it at five.
Five.
And again, if the industry didn't want this, I assume they would come and share that with you?
Representative Smith, Mr. Chair, yes, I assume they would. We did inquire last session, and we got considerable pushback.
Okay, I'm a one. Okay, payments to the Center for Research on Occupational and Environmental Toxicology.
May I ask a question, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
The Center for Research on Occupational and Environmental Toxicology is a very important function, CROIT as it's known, I think, up at OHSU. How complex are the payments?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, they're not complex at all. It's simply a dollar figure that is transferred.
Well, I guess I was trying to figure out why does a function like that even appear on this level of prioritization list? Because would it not just be strictly administrative? Somebody is just passing through payments to, or is there something more that I'm missing here?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, that has always been a part of the budget that's been legislatively directed, and it is not part of one of our regular programs. It is a transfer payment.
Okay. I couldn't figure out why it rose to the level of all the activities that you all and your managers perform that we will never see. I was just trying to figure out why a function that seemed so administrative would appear on a high-level review of program. That was my only issue. It's like writing a check, basically.
And with that, your score?
Well, my score is 5, simply because I just can't understand.
Zero and staff.
Okay.
Seems very low function.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, it is over $6 million, and it is not a program that we administer. It is unique in that sense, which is why the only reason that we show it.
Okay, but you're simply the transfer agent.
Well, it comes out of funds that the department collects for general workers' compensation and OSHA purposes, but yes, then we simply transfer it.
Is there any liability to having you doing that?
Mr. Chair, no, it's simply an expenditure determination on your part.
Okay. Senator Morris?
I'm kind of nonplussed, so I guess that would be a 3.
Okay. Senator Berger?
4.
Senator Johnson?
I guess, again, Mr. Chair, I'm just struggling with the numerical valuation. I had put it as just a low priority in the overall scheme of the very complex activities undertaken by this complex agency. I guess what's concerning to me as I'm sitting here listening to us struggle with these nuanced numerics is the ability to draw value judgments from what we're commenting on. And I think we have to keep reminding ourselves that we are looking at the agency's listing of programs and determining whether or not by our indication of agreeing in a high range, a medium range, or a low range, whether or not we agree with the priorities of the agency. And I think that it would be pretty easy to somehow infer value judgments. I happen to think that the work at the Center for Research on Occupational and Environmental Technology is incredibly important work. Mm-hmm. But writing a check that transfers the money to them seems to me to be incredibly of lesser value in the whole menu of the items in your portfolio. So mine is not so much with this line item, but my continuing trying to find my footing in a process that's a little bit odd. Given what it is in your portfolio, I would rate it a low, a 5. Given the value conferred on Oregonians by the CROIT, it's very important. Okay. So, but for this purpose, I'm going to mark it as a 5.
Senator Carter?
3.
I'm a 1.
Oh, wait. Is that number
37.
Oh, I gave it a 5.
And again, my rationale on that is it is a pass-through. There's no harm to the agency. No harm, no foul. If it if it went away, so be it. It doesn't hurt us any. Electronic signatures, Representative Richardson.
3.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry to just beat this to death. My colleague, Senator Morris, reminds me that you're the originator of the money. And in that respect, this elevates in my worldview considerably.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, yes, this is an expenditure of funds which would otherwise be either not, we could reduce our assessments, or we would have them available to expend on other department programs, which is why it's on our list.
With apologies to the chair, then, I'm going to move my 5 to a 1, which seems rather extraordinary, but I'm grappling with process here.
Sure. Electronic signatures. I'm sorry.
I don't say that.
We had a 3. Senator Carter?
It was not with
electronic.
Mr. Chair?
3. Yes. No, CROIT was 1. You changed it to 1?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I should note that programs number 38 and 39 are ones that we have legislatively proposed for elimination. These are voluntary registration programs, which we do not believe serve a purpose, and we have submitted legislation to eliminate both of them.
Is there any heartburn among the committee of just eliminating them based upon
no.
Departments? Senator Morris.
Is this Senate Bill or House Bill 2069?
Mr. Chair, Senator Morris, I'm sorry, I don't believe that I have the bill number right in front of me, departmental bill.
I don't even remember these dumb bill numbers.
In the interest of time, I'm going to move us forward. What I do want to share is you have heard several comments here today. We've talked about the Office of Minority Women and Emerging Small Business and strengthening that program. We've had conversations regarding the timeliness of Building Codes Division enforcement and licensing. We also raised the issue about how dollars within building codes are allocated to make sure all partners feel comfortable. Was there any other issue that I missed, colleagues? I think. Oh, and then also Representative Avakian is just going to have a five-minute meeting with you to talk about the arbitration issue and to see if there is any possibility between the Workers' Comp Division dispute resolution and the same function that occurs with the Employment Department.
You were speaking.
So I think that's the issues. And that's where we are. So with that, we're going to tell Corey and Greg thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll see you in round two.
Oh.
Colleagues, we have...
not in favor of that at all.
What do we got? 33 minutes to get through the Bureau of Labor and Industries. Why don't we ask Commissioner Gardner to come on up and anyone else you'd like to have join you.
What happened to the trade consultant?
On this one, we have 17 line items to go through.
Really? That probably speaks volumes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Dan Gardner, Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industries, and Senator Westland, the answer is now is your time.
Robin, are we ready to move forward? Annette?
Yes, Mr. Chair, for the record, Annette Talbot, Deputy Labor Commissioner. Thank you.
Perfect. We're on Bureau of Labor and Industry priority number one, and that's the apprenticeship program. Representative Avakian,
three.
Three?
One.
One?
One.
One with a comment.
Yes.
As the good commissioner knows, I introduced some legislation with regard to the apprenticeship program this session, and based on that and discussions that we and others are having, I just want to thank you for the very sensitive and collaborative way which you're approaching that, commissioner. So I might go two, but because of the discussions, I'm going one. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator West.
In the old grading, I'd done this as a medium, so three.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, my comments are it's actually a high priority. It's number one. But I'd like to have some continuing discussions with respect to how all this relates to the community college workforce development activities and how we can strengthen apprenticeship training and workforce development, and is there something to look at between the activities of BOLI and community colleges that we can strengthen as opposed to maybe kind of flying solo?
Representative Buckin.
And I'd like to add to that, the reason it's at a three for me is not only because I think there's continued work to be done there, but I think we should be coordinating with high school and middle schools as well, and that's a completely untapped area. Not that that directly falls on this drill's responsibility, but when you look at the service to the state as a whole in this area, we're deficient.
Senator Johnson.
And I just feel compelled to comment on my ranking. I agree that it's an incredibly important program, and having toured a number of the facilities, I simply don't understand why they're not lined up around the block to get in. But I share Representative Avakian and Senator Morris's question about relationship with community colleges, and my ranking really had to do with its place among the other in your portfolio of responsibilities. I just thought there were some other things that were more compelling for the number one slot.
Senator Berger.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to make a comment, and that is that they have dropped so many of the apprenticeship programs, and if they are not funded, in this budget cycle, you're not going to see those programs come back into the community college or into the high school. So I think that, you know, it's nice to say we wish they could all be integrated, but I think what is going to happen is that they may fall into this program as a result of the funding being short in those other programs.
And so your score?
My score was a 1.
I'm going to give it a 1 as well, with one caveat for round 2, and that is I really want to know how we're reaching out to rural Oregon to let those students know that the apprenticeship program is an alternative to them, especially in our smallest and most remote communities. So, wage and hour minimum wage claims.
1.
Senator Carter?
Excuse me. 1.
2.
1.
1.
I'm a 1 as well.
And Senator Morris is a high, so...
Okay. Oh, that's right. He had the other worksheet, too. Civil Rights Protected Class Oregon Family Leave Act Investigation.
1.
Okay.
Thank you. 2. Senator
Carter? Excuse me. I'm so sorry. Otherwise, give me 1.
Okay. This is number 4?
3.
3.
3? 1.
1.
1.
2.
I'm a 1. Okay. Wage and hour farm forest labor unit.
1. 2.
Senator Carter?
I'm whatever Margaret is.
It was a 3, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. 3.
3.
1.
1.
I'm a 3. Yes. Wage and hour discretionary wage claim enforcement.
We missed number 5.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Other notes.
I'm with you on number 5. I'm a 1.
Well, he jumped down to 12 all the time.
Yeah.
Commissioner's office. I'm sorry.
1.
1.
2.
2.
1.
1.
Mine was a concern of placement of the commissioner's office ahead of other work that actually services Oregonians, and that was my only concern with putting it at a 3. I just asked for additional detail to understand why it should be in the top third ahead of other direct services. I saw it as strictly administrative, and if you can clarify my thinking, Mr. Commissioner, I could change that easily.
Ben, do you want
to? I appreciate the comment. I had the same concerns, and then when I was looking at it, it kind of falls into the category of, you know, the boss and a good employee. You can't pay those guys too much. You can't pay a bad employee too little. If you don't have the office and well-run and well-organized and executing, you don't get the service delivery down to the folks where we want to get it to. So that's why I've heard it.
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, actually, that's basically, I think Senator Westland basically just said it for me, is that our job is to advocate for all of the other programs and to be an advocate for working men and women and for emerging small business out there as well, and to, you know, make sure that we are working with small businesses starting up to make sure they don't fall into problems with labor relations, and that's the rationale for it.
I easily could be convinced to move this up to a 1 then, because I think you also ought to be acknowledged for putting the commissioner's office, acknowledging that there are costs there, and some of the other budgets that we've looked at, the administrative stuff just doesn't show. And so in listening to this exchange, it now occurs to me that instead of me ranking this as a lower priority, you ought to get some kudos for saying, we got to run the shop, and this is the shop.
Thank
you. I would move my 3 to a 1.
Senator Berger.
I'm a 1, but I think perhaps by the fact that it says commissioner's office, I also was thrown off just a little bit. I think if it would have said some other title, I might have understood it a little better, but I'm 1.
Thank you. And I'm going to give it a 1 as well. I appreciate your leadership in coming out to District 57 a few days ago, or your staff coming out to District 57 a few days ago and helping to put together a forum for small business owners, helping those folks learn how to deal with these type of issues.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, you didn't do that in my district. I'm back to a 5.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We'll work on getting over to food.
Injured worker investigations.
1.
1.
One.
Well, it's a 1, but the question I have, and it relates also to number 15, what overlap do we have with DCBS? And it's this net metaphor that was created by the folks from Florida and Texas when they spoke to Ways and Means, those members that attended. You've got overlapping functions. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to understand where this activity, particularly number 6 and number 15, overlap with DCBS.
Would you mind if I asked you and I to work on that? Because I had that same question.
Well, if we could, Mr. Chair, we actually do this. Actually, one of them is in statute. The other we do under contract for DCBS. We actually do the investigations for them because it's the type of investigations we're used to doing, and we do them for them in coordination and in concert with them.
So you guys know what you're doing.
Generally speaking,
Mr. Chair, Senator Martz, that is why we do work in collaboration with them, because we have the expertise in investigating discrimination and doing that type of investigation.
Just to clarify, if I could, this relates more to number 3 on discrimination claims as opposed to an OSHA-type investigation for workplace safety. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Watkin, absolutely. It's totally related to the workplace and the discrimination aspect.
Okay. I'm sorry. So do
I need a vote
one.
From you.
One. Okay. We're on number 7, hearings unit.
Number 1. One.
One.
Can you tell me a little bit about the hearings unit?
Certainly, Mr. Chair. Senator Carter, basically what the hearings unit is that it's part of our process whereby if both the respondent, the employer, or the complainant, the employee, decide to go through our process, they can go through an actual administrative hearing that's held by an administrative law judge, and evidence is given in both sides of the case. We actually conduct about 31 different hearings a year, and we also settle about 36 more without going all the way to a full-blown hearing. But then the administrative law judge actually, through the process, brings a proposed final order to me. As the final arbiter in the situation, it's up to me to either go with the administrative law judge's recommendation, change it in some way, or do whatever as the final arbiter the commissioner decides to do in that particular case.
Okay. I'll go with the 2, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Senator Westland.
2.
A question for the commissioner. This is not part of that central hearings panel, is it?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, no, it is not. There has been discussions, of this one as many others. The biggest problem I've found with putting it in the Central Hearings Panel is about 3 or 4 different things. One is that the Central Hearings Panel is not currently trained in the particular types of law through civil rights and wage and hour that we do. We would have to do the training for them or give them our administrative law judges. They don't provide any clerical help or any type of help like that. We'd have to still provide that as an agency.
You've thought about it. That's really all. I
just can't find any cost savings in doing it, Senator.
I rated it a high, a 1.
Senator Morris?
1.
Senator Berger?
2.
Yeah, I'm a 1. Okay. Wage and hour, prevailing wage rate, enforcement, and education?
1.
2. Senator Park?
2.
1.
1.
2.
I'm a 1. Technical assistance for employers?
1.
3.
1.
1.
1.
3.
Three. Okay. Equal employment opportunity investigations.
Three.
Two.
One.
Two.
Two.
One.
Three.
I'm a one. Wage and hour child labor unit.
One.
Three.
One.
One.
Three.
One.
Two.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to condition mine in the notation. I asked volume. How critical an issue is this unit to the work of Boley? Well, give us a sense of scope here.
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, we have the Wage and Hour Commission, which actually does administer child labor law throughout the state, which is statutorial. And what we do is provide work permits across the state for those that are minors under the age of 18. And I think it is very important to make sure that, that young people aren't working long hours or not getting, you know, their meals or rest periods or other things that an employer could take some advantage of because of their youth and their inexperience. Matter of fact, well, I won't get into a rather lengthy story, but I did have a situation where, you know, actually when I was taking my son to, he's in eighth grade and going into high school, and where I ended up, you know, reading the newspaper of his new high school, talking about where this particular young person had been part of a restaurant across the street that had shut down overnight, not paid her proper final wages and some other things, and ended up actually talking to those young people about some of the situations they run into and how to report them to the Bureau and help to straighten them out.
Respectfully, though, that doesn't get to the question that I'm asking. How much of your time does this issue area consume at the Bureau?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, not a tremendous amount of time. We do issue 5,000 certificates for employment of minors under the age of 18 every year.
Thank you. That answers. Yeah, that's a lot. Okay.
Okay. So you want to change your head?
No, I had called it a medium, a two.
Senator Berdrecki called it. We get your vote.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll give it a two. And please don't send your business card to my kid.
There's actually an exemption, Mr. Chair, for those that are related to you.
Oh, good. Wage and hour discretionary wage claim enforcement.
One.
Two.
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 I'm sorry. What?
Senator Morris is a high.
Okay. You're the interpreter for him.
A one.
Okay. And I'm sorry, yes, Senator Berger?
A two.
Two. I'm a one. Wage and hour wage security fund.
One.
Two.
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 One.
I gave it a five. I must not understand the question.
Would you like
to share? Maybe the commissioner can explain to me exactly what the wage and hour security fund is. I thought that was pretty just cut and dried. The money went in it, and that was it.
Mr. Chair, Senator Berger, wage security fund is a small set aside of unemployment insurance that we get on a biannual basis from the employment department. Out of that fund, what we're allowed to do is pay up to $4,000 per incident to an individual employee if the business they're working for happens to go out of business owing them wages. We can pay them up to $4,000 of earned wages out of the wage security fund. We get a number of claims on this fund. Matter of fact, we were in a bit of financial difficulty with this fund over three things that happened last legislative session. One was we got $500,000 less than was anticipated from the Employment Department on the projections. Two was the legislature took $2 million out of this fund last legislative session. And three was we had Eastmoreland and Woodland Park hospitals close in the city of Portland, right, which cost the fund close to $1 million alone. What it really does is gives the individual employee the money that they need, they've earned, that the employer doesn't have to pay them to make their house payments, car payments, et cetera, until unemployment insurance can kick in or they can find other employment.
So do you try and then collect from the business that defaulted on their payments to the employees?
Yes, Mr. Chair, we absolutely do. Matter of fact, what saved us from having to ask the emergency board for additional funds in January was that we had collected $100,000 from a subsidiary company of a company that had gone out of business. And actually, we have a bill with Senator Morris has been good enough to sponsor for us to actually put us higher in the ranking for recovery, to put us equal to that of the employee who is at top of the ranking for recovery of any funds that are left over when a company dissolves.
Okay. I'd give that a one.
I'm going to raise mine to a two, Mr. Chair. I better understand what it is.
Okay. Administrative support to the programs in the commissioner's office.
One.
Two.
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 Again, I was confused about the commissioner's office and how this is different from the overall cost of the commissioner's office back up on line 5.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Annette Talbot, Deputy Labor Commissioner, Senator Johnson. This involves the part of the division that does our fiscal, our budget officer, our any internal function, property related, payments, and anything that helps the rest of the division actually function. And we do separate it out from the commissioner's office per se, just to let you know the various functions that people play within the commissioner's office. So it is sort of the internal operations, like you had that conversation with DCBS, but for these folks, we wouldn't be able to get checks out for the wage security fund and things like that. So they do provide an integral function for the agency.
Mr. Chair, with your permission, if the agency could, for phase two, just distinguish, this is not exhaustive. I just want to know how you differentiate between line 5 and line 14 with respect to what's the front office, what's the back office, because this sounds to me to be just purely the administrative functions that run the place.
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, I could do that very rapidly if you'd like. It's the number 5 would be my salary, Annette's salary, the heads of the three divisions, the head of the Wage and Hour Division, Civil Rights and Apprenticeship Division. That's the level of that one. The level of this item is those people who are budget analysts. It would be our human resources director and the couple of people that we have in the back that basically handle the checks as they come in, do the payroll.
That's fine. A two.
Okay.
And Senator Morris has it rated as a medium.
Okay.
Two.
Senator Johnson, did he have a ranking on the previous item?
13, the Wage and Hour Security Fund. He had a high.
Okay.
Senator Berger?
Two.
Okay. And I'll give it a two as well. Okay. Occupational Safety and Health Investigations?
One.
And I didn't know enough to vote knowledgeably about why some of these functions couldn't go to the DCBS apropos of the earlier conversation.
Okay.
This is the one we do through contract with DCBS, Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson.
Okay. I'm sorry, then I misunderstood you. I thought the injured worker one was the one that...
Both.
Okay. Then two.
Three.
Okay. Senator Morris?
Senator Morris had a low.
Okay.
Three.
Oh, I'll give it a two. I'm going to ask, before we get to round two, if we could ask the commissioner to meet with us as a committee and just kind of explain how that relationship works and walk us through it kind of an elementary level so we're more clear. Because I have the same questions that the senator does. Senator Berger.
This is on 16?
15. Contract investigations.
I want to make sure, in fairness to Senator Morris, in our old rating system, this was high, medium, and low. Mm-hmm. And I thought I heard somebody say a two, and that would probably not be an accurate reflection.
Mr. Chair, someone for him said three.
Oh, okay.
Benny?
I did.
Okay.
You look like you're in trouble.
Thanks.
Contract investigations. Representative Abbott.
Three.
Two.
What do you mean local jurisdiction? Is that other, like, with the counties and cities? And
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, yes. Those that we do on investigation through local ordinances for Multnomah County, the city of Portland. We're currently working on a contract with the city of Bend. It's for discrimination enforcement of their local ordinances.
Another question. Do they pay you for those services?
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, yes, they do.
And are there residuals else that you benefit from, you know, with them paying you that been going to plus side of your ledger?
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, generally speaking, they pay us so much per investigation, and it usually takes that amount per investigation. So we really just break even on doing it.
So that wouldn't be a high priority for you, but it is a service that you provide.
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, it absolutely is a service that we provide, and, you know, I think it's a needed function, and you're considering legislation, actually, that would expand this statewide.
Okay. Three.
Two.
Three. Senator Morris was a low.
Three.
Two.
Okay. I'll give it a two as well. Wage and hour, private employment agencies.
Three.
I just got to ask one question.
Of course. Yeah, that's why we're here.
I'm hoping you ask that question, Mark.
Yeah. How do you interact, Dan, with private employment agencies? So do you guys oversee them in some kind of way?
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, we have a very limited role here. We actually used to have a licensing program, and now we just have an administrative rule structure in regards to what the industry has to follow in regards to them making sure that it's a consumer protection. You get the value for the service you've paid the employment agency for. But it is a very small program for us. It doesn't really amount to anything other than a couple complaints per year. But I do believe it has a valuable consumer protection function, especially in times of recession when people are trying to get a job and have some people providing services that aren't particularly worth a lot of money. So it helps them.
Thank you.
Great.
Four for me, two, predicated mostly on the fact that I think that there is an employer education piece here. Not all employers who are involved in employment agencies come out with positive experiences, and I guess I'm of the opinion that if you're going to be in this line of work, it ought to be you ought to be in this line of work, and it seems to me dealing with two complaints a year, there might be a better way to deal with this. Senator Morris was a low.
Okay.
I'm a four.
Four. I'll give it a three. Well, colleagues, we've gone through the priorities now for Bureau of Labor and Industry. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Want to say thank you to Robin for her patience in dealing with me as we've worked through this. And to the committee, I changed this form on Robin and on you folks several times, but we're getting there.
Mr. Chair, so. Apropos a comment that Mr. Westland just made, how are we going to do this kind of nuanced thing for some of the more complex agencies? But should we stick with 1 through 5?
Let me think through that. I want to work with Robin and sit down and figure out what makes sense, what doesn't. And maybe what we could do is have some communication with a co-chair and with you as well and walk through this. Because, we're going to have
I just think the nuance between a 3 and 2 is adds a level of complexity to an exercise where we're really trying to take the panel's sense of are we in generalized agreement or are there specific programs that we would like to call out for additional explanation or offering our observations about it. And I just struggle in nuancing between the 5.
Let us flush through that a little bit. And we'll be prepared for tomorrow. Committee, I want to share with you, I have a constituent out in the audience, Karen Wolf. Karen is my neighbor from Hempner. She's just probably one of the most dynamic ladies you'll ever meet, and it's so great to have you and your daughter down at the Capitol today, and I guess tomorrow as well. So, welcome. So, Anyway.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Question of Representative Johnson.
Yes.
When she characterized Boley as a simple agency, I just wanted to know if there was an inference that Commissioner Gardner was only capable of running a agency.
Mr. Chair, quite the contrary. I was saying that Commissioner Gardner's expertise and alacrity as an administrator has made dealing with this budget simpler than others. That's what I meant to say.
Wow. Very good.
Mess with me. Yes,
well, with that said, we are going to close this public hearing, and until tomorrow, have a good day.
Very good.